there is not only a battle, but there is a fight for position. Everyone say, fight for position. You can't overcome unless you are positioned. What the enemy tries to do is get us out of position. Amen? This is something we've not heard before, but the Spirit brought to remembrance. And he brings things to remembrance because of so many times we begin to drift and not recognize it. We begin to compromise and not recognize it. We become complacent and not recognize it. We become lazy and not recognize it. And the next thing we know, we're doing the same old thing we used to do. And it doesn't have to be sin. It's a routine that leads to the same thing to sin if we keep doing what we're doing. You know, the word says, he who sows to the Spirit reaps life. To connect with the Spirit, you must connect with your mouth in the Spirit. Spirit to Spirit. So when you connect, there's something that's released into you. That's why the enemy tries to prevent people from true worship. Remember, the Father seeks those who worship him in truth and spirit. See, the enemy convinces individuals they don't need the fellowship because they can just stay home and read their Bible. Man, you can know all the truth and still go to hell. Because if you don't practice the truth, which is only done and empowered by the presence of God, can you practice the truth? Other than that, you can't. Does everybody understand? I'm telling you, you can know the page numbers of the Bible and still go to hell. Because people are not willing to humble themselves and worship the Lord. That means you can't access nothing from heaven. Nothing. You can hope, you can pray, but if you can't worship, you get no access. Does everybody understand this? Why? Because it takes humbleness. Humble. You must be humble. The Bible says, humble yourself in the presence of God, and he will exalt you. In other words, he'll make a way for you. Is everybody okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing how consistent and disciplined we are to go to work to make money. Temporary things. But to do eternal things and how we put those things aside. Because what creates then is a false fulfillment. Now we begin to look for a false fulfillment and putting money in our bank accounts and getting possessions instead of getting in the presence of God where the true fulfillment is. And only in God's presence can you be fulfilled. Verse 1, is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's speak it. And I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will what? Not endure sound doctrine. Now, grab hold of this. He said it's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Because the drift begins and it gets the things that we have believed and so fought for begin to exchange for compromise, complacency, no longer assembling like we should, thinking that we're okay by just reading the Word of God when there's no power behind it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires, because they'll be emotionally moved. They'll actually be emotionally misled, looking for false fulfillments. Because they have what? Itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I can't tell you how many times people have come across my path. They come for counsel, And then they reject it. Amen. They want another counsel, but they haven't fulfilled the first one yet. And it's basic, simple stuff, getting God's presence. They get the prayer booklet, sow, because the only way out of anything is to sow your way out. And you sow till you sow what? Right? Where there is no more care. There's nothing but peace. See, because then what begins to happen, you begin to sense God's presence. You become more sensitive. You know when he shows up. Amen. There's a point in time in worship when I know he just walks in the room. And I sense it. And I can't, it almost overwhelms me. As it should for every believer. When you know he's just stepped in the room, his presence radiates. And there's a sensation in you going, Father. See, this is where the adopted children cry out, Father. And you know how wretched we are, but he doesn't say it. We know it. And it's amazing that he loves us in our conditions, unconditionally. But see, all of these things come in a moment of a split second. It's like, wow, how real he is. If we'll just connect spirit to spirit and maintain it. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. It says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be what? Watchful in all things. Verse 5. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In other words, be a witness. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Let me tell you, he knew he was going home. That's how his relationship was with the Lord. He knew when he was going home. And he said something that was complete. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. In other words, I have kept my position. I have finished the race and then kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is powerful. Again, so many times people lose their endurance abilities. They're swept out of position by selfish doctrines of influence. It removes them from the narrow path to the wide path. And it's easier path in this wide path, which is called an easier path, is a path of rebellion. In other words, I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Instead, I'm going to do what I know is right. Amen? Paul maintained position of faith to overcome all influence of worldly appetites. Carnal reasoning, worldly appetites, carnal reasoning, and love of self and love of money. Carnal reasoning, love of self, love of money, worldly appetites. He did not fear, he overcame it. Amen? There was never a fear of lack in Paul. Never. He knew God would make a way and provide everything needed. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 1, fight for position. You know, again, we were born in a time of war. This war that we're in is not physical, it's carnal. Not that it's not, that there's not physical wars going on. It's a spiritual war. It's an unseen war. But it is happening, and we're in it. We're right in the middle of it. In verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. How many of y'all know his word is commandments? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. So what is he saying? You must align yourself with the word of God. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And your faith is your connection to the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes? And that word believe means follow. There's a lot of people that say they believe, but they really don't follow. They are not aligned with the word of God. They're still doing their own things. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who follows that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, whatever is born of God and whoever is born of God. And I want to say whatever and whoever, because things are born of God when God uses you to produce something. Does everybody get it? When he uses you to produce something, whatever it may be, it could be a business, it could be anything. It says that it will always overcome the influence of the world. As long as it's in divine order, and you're in divine order. Whatever is born of God and whoever is born of God overcomes the influence and temptations of the world. So they can resist rebellion and compromise. Our faith connected to his presence, his power, and truth. That allows us to be spiritually blessed and positioned in what they call heavenly places. Amen? We are to be seated and positioned in heavenly places. And what happens here, then there's no wavering. There's no drifting. There's no doubting. There's no compromise. We are maintaining a steadfast course of position or positional victory. By aligning ourselves with everything that pertains to the kingdom of Christ. We align ourselves that pertain to everything according to the kingdom business and the kingdom of Christ. Everything. In Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Fight for position. There's a constant fight for position. You know, there's a fight for position in your thoughts. The enemy wants to take position in your thoughts. There's a fight for position in your emotions, in your soul, in your decisions. Everything you do, you're on this planet. The enemy's trying to get position in all of your members. Because sometimes if he can access one, we allow him to access the others. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Let's speak it. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Antichrist spirit. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience or rebellion causes individual to drift. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires, which is called false fulfillments, of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature, children of wrath, just as the others. Because we were known as Satan's offsprings until we were born again. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Wow. Made us what? Alive together with Christ by grace. And remember, grace is not some unmerited favor. It's God's plan. It's God's unmerited love. By grace you have been saved. Grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us. Everyone say made us. Amen. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, by God's plan, you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means that the price is cooperation. If you're not willing to cooperate, you can't walk in it. You know, this. I mean, I've heard so many goofy things. I call them granolas, nutty and fruity people. Well, Jesus loves me and he's in me. Well, then I don't need to study to pass the test. Well, because he says, I know all things. And then they fail the test and they blame God for not passing the test. It's just plumb crazy. So without cooperation, you can't pass the test. You must connect yourself and align yourself with everything that pertains to the kingdom of Christ. In conduct, in decision, in finances, in health, in fellowship, in assembling, in training, in teaching, in suffering. It says that we learn obedience by suffering. See, but so many people run instead of let God deal with them. Or they blame someone else for their stuff. Everything that comes into our life, we bring on. Amen? Because the decisions we've made somehow, or we've agreed with. Is everybody okay? It says he made us sit in positional places to overcome emotional, selfish influence where the flow of life is. And it's not from the flesh, it's from the Spirit. Amen? And Psalm 18. That's why many people turn to drugs, alcohol, and so forth. Because they're looking for fulfillment. They're actually looking for God's presence. You know, you think, must be the Lord. It's 1-800-G-O-D. He's got a message for us. Psalm 18, verse 31. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except for our God? It is God who does what? Arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on the high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. See, one of the things that people don't do, it says fight for position. If you're not an individual that's pursuing your enemy, he's going to come back and take you out. Amen? That's why God has given us the authority in the name of Jesus. Through his word, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit so that we are the sword. He's given us the keys to bind and loose. See, when you are going through stuff, your afflictions expose your enemies. Your trials expose your enemies. Don't grumble about your trials. Grab the throat of your enemy. Hello? And kick him out. pursue him, destroy him till he can't rise up again. Verse 39, he says, "For you have army with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rise up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies." Why? Because they pursued him. "So that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save them. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind and cast them out like dirt in the streets." That's what we're to do to demons. Amen? But so many times people are just allowing these demonic forces and these voices that they carry to influence them, make decisions, especially emotionally. We're to pursue our enemies, overtake them, drive them out. Instead of pursuing worldly fulfillment, we should be pursuing the fulfillment of the kingdom of Christ. Instead of pursuing temporary worldly desires and the worldly way of living, we should be pursuing the eternal purpose. You know, remember, what did we talk about before? We are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and our destiny is to infiltrate the world system. If that is not a consistent part of your life, then you're out of order. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, we are not fighting flesh and blood. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are seeing a tremendous battle in our government. We're seeing a tremendous battle in global government. It's happening all over the world. The righteous are leading this battle. We have a righteous president in this country, and there are righteous presidents and leaders in other countries that are working together and know that they are battling this evil force of Satan's kingdom. They know it's Satan's kingdom. Does anybody understand this? They know it. And they've had to establish a system of communication to bypass the media so that the people can be communicated with, and the people will now become the news media. Because Satan's kingdom rules the news media, and they lie, deliberately lie. I don't know if you've seen some of the investigations or whatever, where some of them have just, some of these congressmen have just, man, they're just lying right in front of people. And the people that they're questioning stood up and basically rebuked them for being a constant liar and shrunk them right in their seats. Listen, it's not called Democratic Party for nothing. But it isn't about the party. It's about, these are demon-possessed individuals. This is the Babylonian kingdom. It is the harlot that feeds on the innocent, unborn blood of children. This is a reality. And until the body of Christ awakens and people awaken, they are going to fall into a place of compromise, complacency, and selfishness. And constantly be emotionally drifted. Because they're going to do what they feel like. Well, I'll do this because I feel like it. Instead of seeking the kingdom of God, instead of acknowledging him, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it. "You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace," which means strong in the plan. And what is the plan? Escape. The plan is to escape Satan's deception. That's the plan. That's what the plan of God is for. To escape the deception of Satan's kingdom and his flawed influences in lying. He's known as the father of lies. Why? Because if you cannot escape his deception, you won't escape the wrath of God. It's that simple. So the plan is to escape. Amen? And why the plan is constantly going to escape, we're fulfilling destiny. We're fulfilling purpose. We're fulfilling call. As long as we're aligning ourselves with everything that is about kingdom business. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Faithful is associated with consistent and disciplined. You therefore must what? Endure. Endure. Hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics. Now, this area of compete is associated that we are following the rules of the kingdom. See, one of the things that begin to happen is the enemy comes into compromise and priority is reset. Now it's selfish priorities instead of kingdom priorities. Your priority and my priority should be always the presence of God before anything. Anything. When it's time to come and assemble and worship God, that should be priority. If it's not, you're out of order. And God knows it. Amen? He knows it. And if you're out of order there, can he trust you? No. He can't. Why? Because we're always earning his trust. And then what happens is we begin to lose his trust. Because as far as he sees, his presence is not priority to me and you. And if his presence isn't priority to me and you, then either his power is. And that's how we overcome. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3, therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, which is selfish emotions and ambitions, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Well, it's he warning us that we'll drift from that position. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules, that means he maintains consistency and discipline and maintains a divine order of priority. Is everybody okay? The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all of these things. Again, be strong in a plan, consistent, disciplined, able to endure, able to teach and be an example without compromise or selfish assumptions, putting all things in divine order. Aligning all things with the rule of the kingdom, business and character of Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, one of the main rules we have in campus is do not assume. It's the number one rule. Don't assume. Don't assume. Don't assume. Why? Seek. Find out. Then the excuse comes later. Well, I believed and I thought and I... Because there was really no seek. First Thessalonians chapter 4, let's grow for it. In verse 1, finally then, brethren, we urge you to and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to what? How you ought to what? Walk and to please God. How you ought to walk and to please. Listen, if this isn't constantly on your mind, am I pleasing you? Am I walking according to way? Is my decision going to... Then we haven't set him before us and we're out of order. I'm telling you, the Lord is tightening up things. He knows, he sees, he's warning, because this flood that's coming is going to wipe out people if they're not in divine position. Amen? But you must fight for this position. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from what? Sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. In sanctification and in honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Wow. Pleasing self instead of God seems to be a major thing these days. He's warning us that things will cause us to drift by approving the things that he disapproves of. Amen? We must be always setting the Lord before us. It says, acknowledge him in all of your ways and he will direct your paths. Lack of acknowledgement will cause a drift, won't it? In Matthew 6, anybody okay? Matthew 6:31. Fight for position. Okay, so this fight for position means that we got to submit. Submission for position. Amen? Because the word says submit to God, then you can resist the devil. So if we're not submitting, there's no way we can maintain that position. We'll drift. We'll go back. You know how many people lose their healing? Their deliverance? Even their salvation? They've lost it. Willing to give it up for a moment of worldly lust, desire, or passion, or fame. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow. Seek the kingdom. Amen. What do? We seek kingdom character, kingdom rules, and righteousness. In other words, we want to walk in the righteous ways. And then it says, when we do these things, nothing will be withheld. Nothing will be withheld. So when things are being withheld, you need to search yourself out and find out, man, am I really seeking the kingdom? Am I compromising my position somehow? Am I not believing that God could fulfill what he said he's going to do? Because the enemy comes with fear. Remember, his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. I don't know if you know this or not, but how many of you know fear brings pain to the body? Fear brings pain to the body also. You feel sick, you start fearing, you'll feel even worse. It brings and intensifies pain to the body. Oh, hallelujah. Then people run to medication instead of the throne. And then they become dull and can't really respond to the things of God. Seek the kingdom of God and his rules and righteous ways, and nothing will be withheld. Fear is an enemy against the will of God. Fear is an enemy against the will of God. 2 Corinthians 6. And that's all fear is doing. It's trying to convince us that God can't provide. Second Corinthians 6, we're all very familiar with this scriptures, verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, body of Christ, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your emotional compromise. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked. People get joined in business unevenly yoked. They wonder why they have problems. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? People marry other individuals that are unevenly yoked, and they wonder why their marriage is a rough time. And what accord is Christ with Belial, or what part is a believer with a what? Unbeliever. And what agreement is the temple of God with what? Idols, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people if they do something. If they come out from among them. If they become separated and sanctified. And they don't touch the things and agree with the things of selfish ambitions, compromise, complacency, worldly lust. And they line themselves up with kingdom business and everything that they do, then I'll be a father to them. I'll receive them. And they will be my sons and they will be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Don't fall into a trap and become emotionally compromised with self and others. Acknowledge the drift that is taking place and the lack of fight that has happened. And begin to pursue your enemy. Amen. In Matthew 7. Position, isn't it? Jesus went and prayed 3 times to maintain position so he could go to the cross. And the final time he prayed, he sweat blood. That's where the first blood came forth from Jesus, was in the garden. He shed his own blood right there. And then he allowed the enemy to shed the rest of his blood. In Matthew 7, verse 24. But he couldn't overcome until he got repositioned. The enemy was trying to get him out of position, compromising him. Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness, didn't he try and compromise him with food and challenging him? Are you, if you truly are the Son of God? But you know, he thought about me and you. He said, I'm going to die for them so they can overcome. The greatest position that ever happened was the cross. That was a predestined position for God himself to come into the world, put on a body, and hang on the cross. That is the position that will always be remembered for eternity, eternity, and eternity. The greatest position that set mankind free. That's why positioning is so vitally important. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. In verse 24, is that where we're at? Matthew 7? Is that where I said? Okay, thank you. I'll go there then. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened an idiot, or foolish man, who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. One decision. That's all it takes, is one decision to begin to drift. One decision. We never stop building, and we never stop maintaining to build. Amen? We never stop building, and we never stop maintaining to maintain the house to keep clean. We must be a spirit-filled house in everything. When we are out of divine order, we are out of God's time. It says, he who hears and does. Hears and does. As a hearer and a doer will maintain position to overcome. Remember, the purpose to overcome, the purpose to maintain position, is so that we can overcome. Because if we're not positioned, we can't overcome. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Hebrews 2:1. Let's speak it. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what?
Drift away.
Drift away. In other words, we must have ears to hear and a heart to receive and obey. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Beware of the drift and the voices of drift, compromise, complacency, and laziness. 2 John. And then one more scripture. It's famous. We even have t-shirts to remind you. Who told you that? Who told me what? To drift? Who told you to compromise? Who told you to put this in priority? Who told you to chase this instead of the kingdom? Who told you to miss worship? Who told you to sit down halfway worship? Who told you not to press in? Who told you you were tired? Who told you you can't read, you can't write? Who told you you can't do these things? The Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What report are we going to believe? That's why they go around in the 12-step programs and constantly tell themselves they're addicts. Hi, my name is such and such, and I'm an addict. Well, it's plumb nuts. Who told you you're an addict? And who told you to say that? The Word says, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. I'm brand new. Hallelujah. We must believe the report. His report. Not an emotional report. Not a physical report. Not a worldly report. Not a past report. But I, you know, when people say, but I, they're always looking at their past. Because I's got nothing to do with the future. It's got past. Does everybody understand? I'm a new creation. But when we start doing the I it was and I was it and so forth, we always go to the past. That's what the enemy does. Well, I used to do it this way. Well, forget it. Used to is history. We got to live from the future to the present, not from the past to the present. 2 John 7. Is everybody there? For many deceivers, hello. A deceiver is one that doesn't tell the truth. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a what? Full reward. You got to be positioned for that all the way home. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In other words, he who approves of him. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, it's right next door. 1 John chapter 5. This Main Street media is doctrines of demons. You must be careful what you hear. 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, he doesn't allow sin to reign. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself. Keeps himself protected. Keeps himself unspotted. Keeps his focus on the things above. Keeps sanctified. Keeps things in divine order. Keeps himself. And the wicked does not touch him, because the wicked can only touch something that's not in position or out of divine order. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So the whole stinking world is out of order. Amen? And the ruler of it is the main disorder. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding of all of this. And that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We understand this, so we want to keep it. Little children, keep yourselves from yourself and idols and anything that would in between you and dad. Be careful. Don't compromise your position. Drift away or yield it up to something you shouldn't. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you continue to give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding according to your word. And let the seed be imparted and grow and bear fruit for your glory in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name.